Blog Talk Radio.
Relationships don't work between black people. Racism, white supremacy is the reason.
Absolutely.
Can't get a job in the hood and you educated. Racism, white supremacy.
Absolutely.
Can't get an education in the hood because it's expensive. Racism, white supremacy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Poor education in the hood you live in. Racism, white supremacy.
Absolutely.
You live next to poor people who will rob your ass, steal and kill your ass because they don't have no options and they don't have no option to critically think. Racism, white supremacy.
Yeah.
And I see that that's a problem. So I wanted to just make a pimp decision.
$1 trillion flow.
$1 trillion.
From L.A. to Miami. Minnesota to Detroit. Chicago. Alabama.
Hurricane on its way to New Orleans. It's going to hit
Alabama, Mississippi, some part of Texas, Dallas, Sweetport, all up through there. Nashville, some part of Tennessee and Arkansas, as I speak tonight. But I want to talk about, I'm praying for you, Sister Sheena. Green, I'm praying for you. Sister Scott, I'm praying for you. Every letter will be a blessing. Dr. Christian, God bless you tonight. I want to say to you tonight, I want to talk about what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and where we at now going on. But I want you to be able to reach the limit. And I want to say, and Dr. King, I want to say this, there's a blessing with your name on it. And I want you to get ready to receive the blessing that God got for many of you. And I want you to receive the blessing your way. Well, Bishop Hyde's coming. Because if you name it, you can claim it. Brother Jerry, I'm praying for Dwight. I'm praying for all those that are in the hospital. And praying for those that lost loved ones, what happened over. And I'm asking people to join in, send some over to Haiti. I just want you to get ready for the things to no limit. Get ready for the increase. Your business gonna grow. Get ready for the increase. $1 trillion flow. $1 trillion flow. From LA to Miami. Minnesota to Detroit. Chicago. God will increase your territory. There's no make it. Release me. Jay Bass, say increase my territory. Get ready. Kim, praying for you in Detroit. Jackie in Detroit. Mary Hoff in Detroit. Gene in Washington, D.C. Adina in Kenya, God bless you. I got your letter, Dina. God. I feel the anointing tonight. $1 trillion flow. From LA to Miami.
over enough. Enough for everybody. He was made for us to be rich. Made for us to be brilliant. People of color. People have never. You ask not, you have not. We ask you for what's ours. We are calling for you, you and you, to come into the $1 billion float. New car, new home. New land, new expression. A new philosophy. A new love. $1 billion float. $1 trillion float. We are able to have more money than the government, because we are the government. $1 trillion flow coming from Egypt. Coming from the mother country, Africa, to New York and Chicago, the birthplace of Malcolm X, the birthplace of Martin Luther King, DuSable. I'm talking about $1 trillion flow, the slave train. I'm talking about all laws done by Robinson, the slave train, the $1 billion flow. You and me, for me and you. Poor and rich. We are rich because we're in the $1 billion flow. Yeah, you can have that new Benz. Yeah, you can have that Beamer. Yes, you can have that Rose. Yes, you can have that Cadillac. Yes, you can have that up on the hill up in New York, up in California, out in Oakland, Compton, L.A. You can have the $1 billion. Yo. Is 100%. You 100% deal. You 100% woman. You 100% man. You 100% up. I'm talking about the $1 billion flow. We are right for getting what belongs to us. Give me what you owe me, and you owe me $1 billion flow. I want what's mine. I want to have the best of life. I want the sun to shine on me. I want my fellas to wake up. People of color all over the world. It's in the $1 billion flow. Maybe you in Atlanta, Georgia. Maybe you in down in California. Maybe you in Texas. Maybe you in New York. Maybe you in Florida. Maybe you in Canada, but you in the $1 billion flow. Maybe you in St. Paul, Minnesota, or Indianapolis, Indiana. We're talking about the $1 billion flow. It's going on up in New York and Chicago, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, New Orleans. It's going on, the $1 billion flow down in Texas.
Wrote Brother Lynn and Donnie Parton. They paid for all them people's funerals that down in Tennessee, all them people that died. They paid for the funerals, everything. That's the way you're supposed to. When God bless you, you're supposed to bless somebody else. Sister Donnie Parton, God bless her heart. God bless Compton Weston, because they did it. He didn't ask nobody, just went and paid for all some 15 or 20 people's funeral. And the other lady come and get their house bill out of their pocket. They didn't call the government. They did it. I just want you to be resurrected and do Haiti the same way. Your dollar, your boxes mean something. Be concerned about Haiti. Be concerned about Africa. But be concerned about our brothers and sisters. We're getting ready to go into a storm in New Orleans. Maybe you got the help down there. Always be able to give. God's going to increase your territory. I'm going to pray tonight for finance. I'm going to pray tonight for you to go to the next level. Breakthrough. Father God, touch every business tonight. God, we ask you to touch every man, every woman, every boy and girl. They don't know their way. Ain't no limits on God. Glory, hallelujah. I feel it, Jerry. Ain't no limits. Just ask God for the healing. ask God for the finance. Loretta Lynn, God bless you tonight. Donna Palm, God bless you tonight. No limit. Get ready. Ain't no limit what God's gonna do. Ain't no limit, ain't no boundary. I feel. So whatever you want, stars is the limit. Reach up for the moon, maybe you fall. You land on a star. You're on higher ground. In all that ways, acknowledge God, he will. No boundary. I see increase. You don't see it, but I see increase. I see breakthrough. Sister Walker, praying for you. Sister Kim, I'm praying for you. Sister Jackie, you about to start your business. I'm praying for you. Sheena, it's going to be all right.
Say what you heard. See what you said. Say what you heard. See what you said. Oh, pray these words. Take the limits off. Take the limits off. Take the limits off. Take the limits off.
Yes. Ain't no limits in God. God, we come tonight. We ask you to bless every listener, those that will download tonight. Those that got limits in their life, take the limits off. Those that need increase, God, bless them in their business, bless their wife, bless their family. Those that outdoors don't have nowhere to stay, we ask them that God Almighty to touch tonight. We're talking about where we come from. We come from a long ways. But I want to tell you, you can make it if you just look up. Wonderful, wonderful. In all thy ways, acknowledge God, he will direct your path tonight and your path for success in your business. Your path for your kids to go to school safe. Your path tonight is for your healing. God got it. All you got to do. You have not, because you ask not. Tonight, begin to ask God for a breakthrough. Take the limits off. Increase my territory. Increase my mind, my walk, my talk. Glory. Look up. Stop looking down. Look up. God is going to do something for you, man. Woman, God wants to do something. I want to say this tonight. Jerry, you got to speak it. Linda, you got to speak it. Flora, you got to speak it. All is well. Trina, all is well. When you begin to speak all is well, things begin to break open for you, Lord. Things begin to break open for you. If you just speak it, doors open up for you. I want to tell you, thank you, kind spirit. that God getting ready to do a new thing with you. Like Lisa said, God got me. I'm going to tell you, Lisa, God is doing a new thing with you. All the valves broke. Doors is open up. $1 trillion flow. Things that you can't do, God going to do for you. Just walk in faith. I just feel a great anointing tonight. I feel God going to do something for somebody financially. Not only financially, God's going to heal some people tonight. Some people going to get delivered from that headache, from them cramps, from that depressed spirit. There's no limit on God. And I want to tell you tonight that whatever you need, God got what you need. God got what you want. Reach out and watch God give it to you quick, fast, in a hurry. I can feel our ancestors coming on. I say, you know, I was saying when a young lady called me and said she lost a sister. Another young lady called and lost her father. But I want to tell you, God is able to open up every door. And I want to tell you, Mr. Maine, that everything's going to be all right. Sometimes you feel like you caught up. But God's going to get ready to bless you. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. And when God bless, things begin to happen. And I want God to touch you tonight in a special way. I want God to do something special for you tonight. That door that's been closed, I'm asking God to open up that door for you. And it seems like you're in a dark place. But God tonight has been to bless you and carry you to another level. Thank you, kind spirit. And when God carry you to another level, He's getting ready to do something special in your life. I want you to decree what you want God to do for you. And He say He's going to do it quick, fast, and in a hurry. So when God gets ready to do it for you, I want you to just say God is able to do anything but fail. It carried me back to what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I still got to talk about it because we got to deal with history. We got to deal with there's no limit on God. God is the same God yesterday, today. And I want to speak healing to somebody who lost faith. I want to speak healing to somebody who lost their way. Get ready for God to do something special.
Only 1,000 homes and businesses burned to the ground. Tonight, the president saying, just because history is silent doesn't mean it didn't take place. Also tonight, the news of the coronavirus in the U.S. with Derek and putting words to what happened there 100 years ago today. One of the most horrific events in U.S. history, the Tulsa Race Massacre, a thriving black community destroyed, set on fire by a white mob, killing an estimated 300 black Americans, burning more than 1,000 homes and businesses to the ground. Late today, President Biden saying he was there to, quote, shine a light to make sure America knows the story in full, saying what happened was not a riot, but a massacre, and promising policies on housing, on schooling, and promising help for small business owners. And this powerful animation tonight from the New York Times of the 100 block of Greenwood Avenue in Tulsa, what was destroyed, the dentist's office, the confectionery, the newspaper, the insurance company, the tailor on the right. Down the street here on the left, you'll see the famous Dixie Theater, the parlor, the billiards, the laundry, the barbershop, all burned down and destroyed. Late today, we learned the president met privately with the three known survivors from 101 to 107 years old. Viola Mother Fletcher, she was just 7 at the time. Her brother, Hugh's uncle, Red Van Ellis, he was just a baby. And Mother Randall, Leslie Bedingfield Randall, she was 6 at the time. And tonight, these images coming in, digging resuming today at a site believed to be a mass grave for some of the hundreds who were killed. The president today saying that's what great nations do. They come to terms with their dark side, arguing we must know our history. ABC's Marcus Moore leads us off tonight from Tulsa. time acknowledging a tragedy long overlooked in American history. President Biden traveling to Oklahoma to honor the lives lost and forever changed by the Tulsa Race Massacre. The first president in 100 years to do so.
For much too long, the history of what took place here was told in silence, cloaked in darkness. But just because history is silent, it doesn't mean that it did not take place.
In the night of May 31st, 1921, an angry white mob stormed from Tulsa's Greenwood neighborhood, also known as Black Wall Street. In less than 24 hours, more than 1,000 homes and businesses were destroyed, an estimated 300 black Americans killed, all after allegations that were never proven that a black man assaulted a white woman in an elevator. Today, what no president has ever done, standing in Tulsa, putting words to the horror of what happened
100 years ago, at this hour, on this first day of June, smoke darkened the Tulsa sky, rising from 35 blocks of Greenwood that were left in ash and ember, raised in rubble. Through the night and in the morning, the mob terrorized Greenwood, torches and guns, shooting at will. A mob tied a black man by the waist to the back of their truck with his head banging along the pavement as they drove off. A murdered black family draped over the fence of their home outside. An elderly couple knelt by their bed praying to God with their heart and their soul, and they were shot in the back of their heads.
The president today proposing policies to begin to level the playing field on housing, education, and investing in small businesses, including those run by black and brown entrepreneurs.
The only way to build a common ground is to truly repair and to rebuild.
Today's visit coming after days of events marking the 100th anniversary of the 1921 massacre and continued calls for remembrance and resolve.
I'm here seeking justice, and I'm asking my country to acknowledge what happened in Tulsa in 1921.
Just weeks ago, three survivors delivered emotional testimony before Congress.
We lost everything that they, our homes, our churches, our newspapers, our theaters, our lives. Greenwood represented all this, what was possible for black people in America and for all the people.
No one was ever held accountable for the attack. While hundreds are believed to have been killed, only 36 people were officially confirmed dead. Today, the city of Tulsa resumed the search for mass graves in Oakmont Cemetery. In October, at least a dozen missing bodies were discovered here. Many believe locating and identifying the victims is long overdue.
Hey, Marcus Moorback with us from Tulsa. He was on the air with us this afternoon as this played out. And Marcus, as I mentioned off the top tonight, President Biden today making that historic visit and then meeting with each of the three known remaining survivors.
Those three survivors range in age from 101 to 107. And the president said they spoke to him about the massacre. He told him about it. And how in one night everything changed. Thousands of people were destitute and forced into homelessness, and also forced into internment camps and been told never to speak about it. David, the president, saying today that only in remembrance do we speak.
Yes.
Members of Local 1199, I can assure you that it is a delightful pleasure and privilege to be here tonight. I don't consider myself a stranger. I've been with 1199 so many times in the past. I consider myself a fellow 1199. And so for many reasons, happy to be here because of your fight for justice, your fight for peace. You're fighting the humanities in the city, the dignity for every working person. And thank God for what your union has done, what you continue to do. I can remember years ago right in this city, the hospital workers made wages so inadequately that it was a shame to see anybody be. Okay,
always fought against, but he always fought for justice and equality in his way. He always did that. So today, as we come to talk about what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in Black Wall Street, and we're talking about our ancestors. 1919. Thank you.
Thank you. So, town young boys from their bicycle that they were riding innocently through the street. We feel that this is a cause that they're going to take on a piece of the Negro taking on a violent act, but it's a piece of the Negro doing what is necessary to defend himself against the violent acts of the white.
Right.
The government has refused to defend the Negro.
Right.
The church was bombed and the government has done nothing about it.
Right.
Mr. Evans was murdered and the government has done nothing about it.
Right.
Emmett Till and Charles Max Parker were murdered and the government has done nothing about it.
Right.
But at the same time, the government is in South Vietnam trying to tell them what to do.
Right.
The government is in Berlin trying to tell them what to do.
Right.
The government is in Africa trying to tell them what to do.
Right.
But it cannot get its own people here in Mississippi and Alabama and New York City and tell them what to do.
All right.
Mr. Malcolm X discusses human or civil rights.
Dear kids, I think we can all agree your return to school isn't how we imagined it. Thanks for showing up or logging.
I'd like to know why you place so much emphasis on calling the freedom struggle among Afro-Americans in this country a struggle for human rights rather than civil rights.
Well, most of our people don't even know what we mean with civil rights by not knowing what it is they're actually trying to get. It has eluded us for the past 100 years. Civil rights is supposed to mean citizenship. When you have civil rights, you have citizenship. When you have citizenship, you have civil rights. If the 22 million Afro-Americans were actually citizens of this country, it wouldn't be necessary to pass any kind of additional legislation to include us in the Constitution. If you notice, whenever the people come here from Europe, they can come here from Poland, which is a communist country. They don't need any legislation to make this Polish person a citizen. They don't need any additional civil rights legislation to make the refugees from Hungary who come here as citizens. We don't need any additional legislation to make anyone who comes to this country a citizen. But when it comes to the rights of the black people who are the descendants of slaves, then immediately new legislation is necessary. So this right here implies that when the Constitution was written, in some way or other, it must have excluded those of us who were slaves at that time. And because we were excluded from the Constitution when it was originally written, today they have to amend it in order to include us. But if you notice, the Civil War didn't include us in the Constitution. Had the Civil War included us in the Constitution, we would be citizens today. Had the amendments even the Constitution actually included us, we would be citizens today. If the Supreme Court desegregation decision way back in 1954 was sufficient to include us into the jurisdiction of the Constitution, all of our problems would be solved today. So there's something about civil rights that makes it almost impossible for us to get. So you have to know the difference between civil rights and human rights. As long as our people are begging for civil rights or they are labeling their struggle for freedom, justice, and equality under the label of civil rights, then what they do is leave us in the jurisdiction of Uncle Sam's court. And it's actually Uncle Sam who is guilty of all of the violation of our rights that have taken place in this country. So when you go to Uncle Sam to try and get some kind of redress over civil rights violations, your case is responsible for the further violation. So the only way our people can really get some meaningful results, it has to be taken out of Uncle Sam's case and taken into a world court. And the world court that has been set up to listen to the complaints of human rights violations that is in the United Nations. Human rights are international and civil rights come within the jurisdiction of the country where these rights are violated. So people may wonder why our brothers from Africa and Asia have not spoken out more boldly or without compromise on the injustices that 22 million Afro-Americans experience in this country. They can't speak out. As long as these injustices are labeled by us as civil rights, then this remains a domestic issue, and none of our people from abroad, because of protocol, can become involved in Uncle Sam's domestic problems. So all the civil rights groups have to do is expand the struggle from civil rights to human rights. And once it is expanded to the level of human rights, then this puts us in a position to charge Uncle Sam with violating the UN Charter on Human Rights. If you take it before the United Nations, then other nations of this earth can then side with us and indict Uncle Sam for the mistreatment of 22 million Afro-Americans.
Why has the problem of the 22 million Afro-Americans come before the United Nations? It has not come before them because the leaders of the civil rights struggle don't understand what civil rights actually amount to. When they are mature to the point where they can see that their present struggle has kept them under Uncle Sam's jurisdiction and Uncle Sam's not morally capable of solving this problem, then they will shift it out of the course of Uncle Sam and take it to the course of the United Nations on the level of human rights, and we'll get some kind of meaningful result. As long as we keep it at the civil rights level, we alienate the support of our brothers and sisters in African Asia. But when we shift it to the level of human rights, we have the support of billions of black, brown, red, and yellow people from all over the earth behind us.
our civil rights be respected.
Right afterwards. So it is the failure of the government to do its job that has given the people of that area